We thank you for this most holy week, an extra opportunity to meditate on the passion and suffering of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. His journey that takes him to an old rugged cross where he sacrifices his life in exchange for ours. Heavenly Father, bless us as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the pain he endured for us, and the fact that he carried all of our cares, all of our worries, all of our burdens to Calvary for us. Lord God, bless us during this very special Holy Week. Bless us that we would fix our eyes on Jesus and Jesus only. It's in his powerful and precious name that we worship and pray this evening. Amen. Amen. Hymn 434.
follow the order of Vespers on page 229. Please stand. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Sing the intro it.
If you want to come up, make sure you bring your essay. One of the special joys during our Lenten season is the opportunity to hear our 8th grade essays, their confession of faith, and tonight we get to hear from Derek, and Derek's confirmation essay is on Psalm 55, 22.
Hello, my name is Derek Poppy.
Hold on. Okay, start over.
Hello, my name is Derek Poppy, and I'm an 8th grader at Scott Middle School. My confirmation essay is on Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. What does the word burden mean? A burden is a heavy load, like a worry or a care. We pretend that we don't have any cares or worries or burdens. We often say, I don't care, or I don't care about anything or anybody. But in fact, we do care. We care a lot. We care about what people think. We care about grades. We care about money. We care about the future. We care about friends. All of these cares are a heavy burden, and many times these burdens cause us to worry. God teaches us that worry is sin. When we worry, we break the first commandment. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear and love. We should fear, love, trust in God above all things. Instead of worrying, we should put our trust in God. But we don't. We worry and sin every day. In Psalm 55:22, God invites us to take all of our cares, worries, and burdens to Him. He promises that He will sustain us. He promises that He won't let us fall. How can He promise this? Only because of Jesus. God sent Jesus into this world to take care of our burdens and worries and cares. He did this because we can't take care of them ourselves. He was born into this world, true God and true man all at the same time. As we read in John 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in Isaiah 9, verse 6, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He fulfilled the law for us, especially the first commandment. We read in Galatians chapter 4, when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And in Hebrews 2, verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might destroy them, Him with holds of the power of death, that is the devil. He committed no sin, but because He loves us, He took all of our burdens, worries, and cares with Him on the cross, where He suffered and died. As we read in Isaiah 53, 4 through 5, surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, and yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, we read, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. He paid the price for all of our sin on the cross, and in 3 days He rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And in Romans 5, verse 10, we read, if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more have been reconciled shall we be saved through His life? When we are baptized, He creates faith in our hearts and declares us to be righteous. In Titus 3, we read, He saved us through the washing of the rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. We are righteous not because we stop sinning, but because our sins are forgiven. Now that our sins are forgiven and our burdens are gone, we have no need to worry. In Romans 6, we read, we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We have a new life in Christ, and we are forgiven of all of our sins, but we still sin, even though we don't want to. We need God's love and forgiveness every day of our life. That is the only thing that will drive away our worries and cares. As we read in 1 John 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Jesus is perfect love. In my life, I know that I will sometimes fall into the sin of worry, even though I know and believe that God loves me. That is why I will need to hear His Word as often as I can, go to church often, and receive the body and blood of Jesus in the Lord's Supper. His gifts will strengthen me to overcome my worries and cares. By God's grace, I will trust His Word and promises even when my burdens are heavy. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
Good job. continue with hymn 453, Upon the Cross Extended.
Thank you.
The reading for Monday in Holy Week is from Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of His servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on His God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
What's important we will sing about, lend your ear.
Satan, the Son of God, so dear was hung
upon the cross. Is still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captives free. Is still the name of Jesus that has power to save the lost. Is still the cross. Christ died on the cross. Is still the blood of Calvary that cleanses sin and sets the captives free. It's
Epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from St. John, the 12th chapter. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies.
Protect me from those who rise against. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Rescue me from my enemies. Protect me from those who rise against me.
Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. Grace, mercy, peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. text for our sermon this Holy Monday is the Gospel lesson read a few moments ago from the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, particularly the first 11 verses. Dear friends in Christ, we are Lazarus, raised from the dead, brought over from death to life, summoned forth from the grave by the powerful word of Christ. He made us alive, crying out, "Lazarus, come out! I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He made us alive. He raised us up out of a watery grave, new and alive, a new man to live before Him in righteousness and purity forever. He raised us to dine with Him, to have table fellowship with the One who raised us up, to sit us at table with Him. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. We are Lazarus, gathered at the table of Jesus again and again and again, receiving His very body and blood in fellowship with Him, where He is both host and meal. Our life in this world is sustained by this meal, this fellowship with our Lord at this very altar. Those who are raised with Jesus, by Jesus, dine with Jesus forever. We are Lazarus. We are Mary, thankful for all that Jesus has done for us, filled with deep and abiding affection, overwhelmed by His grace and love. No price is too high, no expense too great to show our love to our Savior. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. In humility, we offer all that we have to our Lord, our lives, our very selves into His service. Our greatest gifts are certainly not enough, but they are all that we have to give. In humility, we give thanks to Jesus for making us alive, for releasing us from bondage, for pulling us out of the grave with His powerful cry of command. We gather here in this place to praise the Lord who raised us from the dead, to fill this place with our joy. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. We are Mary. Mary embraced Christ's burial. She rejoiced in it. In boldness, she prepared our Lord for His death. A death that was just around the corner, that was lurking just ahead. She knew what was coming. She had heard the predictions of our Lord's passion, and she did not fear, she did not hesitate, she did not question, but she prepared His body beforehand for burial. The thought of His death filled her with love, with devotion, not fear or revulsion. She knows that the time is urgent. She knows that while she has a lifetime to serve others, Jesus is only amongst them for a little while longer. And so she pours herself out in humility for Him. And Jesus gives himself to her. He gives himself to Mary to be anointed. He receives her love in all of its beauty. He gives himself to the saints, to you and me, to those who love him, so that he can be anointed by our love. He receives the gifts we bring, accepting them in joy as thanksgivings for the salvation he has brought. We are Mary, and the fragrance of our love for our Lord fills this room. But there is not only Mary in the room or in our hearts. We are Judas, greedy for the things of this world, concerned only with ourselves, filled with confusion about the coming kingdom of God. Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Any price is too high. Any gift too extravagant. Spending money on the church, especially the beauty of God's house, is more than wasteful. We Judases imply that it's sinful. We cover our greed and our selfishness with a veneer of piety, but at the core, we are concerned only with ourselves. He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Why put what is mine into a dying cause? Why give up what belongs to me, what I have earned through my own effort, for something that has no tangible benefit? Why sacrifice my life? Why sacrifice my things to Christ or His church? Judases reject the burial of Jesus because we know that it might mean our own burial. Christ may call on us to die a physical death for His sake, as He called the Coptic Christians in Egypt. But we are all called to die. To die to our desires. To die to our sinful nature. To lay down everything, everything, and follow Him. We are called upon to die to ourselves. And for Judases like us, that price is too high. We are Judas. Judas despised Christ's burial. He rejected it. The burial of Jesus was an offense to him. He had scorned Christ's death and all that it means. No Messiah he wishes to follow would get himself killed. No deliverer worth following would find himself scourged and crucified. If this is the kind of Messiah that Jesus wants to be, well then Judas is glad to oblige. And Jesus gives himself to him. He gives himself to Judas to be kissed. The kiss of betrayal. The kiss that would lead to the cross. He gives himself to sinners. To those who love themselves so that they can do their worst to him. He gives himself to a world who hates him. He gives himself to Judas for the supreme act of humble love. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. He gives himself to those who love Him, and He gives Himself to those who hate Him. Mary prepared Jesus for burial, and so did Judas. Mary by anointing, Judas by betraying. And Jesus received both. Both anointing and betraying for the sake of the sin of the world. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. Mary gave to her Lord a very precious gift, a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard. Jesus gives an even more precious gift to Lazarus, to Mary, yes, to Judas, and even to you and to me. His pure, spotless life, the costliest gift that could ever be given, the precious blood of the incarnate Son of God. The same body anointed by Mary, the same body kissed and betrayed by Judas, would be laid into the grave. But the burial of Christ was not the end. He trusted in His Father's vindication, as He spoke through Isaiah so many centuries before. The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. And I know that I will not be put to shame. Jesus is Lazarus. On the third day, He who raises the dead will Himself be raised in victory, so that He can go forth and raise others. So that He can go forth to raise you and me. We are Lazarus, raised from the dead by the powerful word of Christ. We are Mary, humbly devoted to our Lord, refusing to be offended by His burial, seeking to show Him love. And we are Judas, self-seeking and self-centered, rejecting the burial of Jesus and all that it implies for us. We who are Lazarus are also Mary and Judas, at the same time saint and sinner. Our life in Christ is then putting that Judas to death and raising up Mary. Jesus raised us up to die to Judas, to die to the world, to die with our Lord. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The world hates those who have been raised by Jesus. The world hates every Lazarus, because every Lazarus is a testimony to the power of Jesus, the world's enemy. And because through every Lazarus, everyone raised up, many believe. And so the cry goes up, "Kill Lazarus!" But the world is foolish. How can it destroy one who has already been raised from the dead? Jesus has raised Lazarus once. He can certainly do it again. Jesus has raised you once. He certainly can do it again. He can and He will. Death has already been shorn of its power over you. This world can do nothing to you. You who have been raised up in the font will be raised up on the last day. You will follow the pattern of Jesus. As St. Peter teaches us, Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in His steps. You are Lazarus. You follow your Lord into death. And you follow him back out of death again into life. You go forth with the confidence that Jesus had, the confidence that he would be vindicated, the confidence that he would be raised, that his enemies would not triumph over him. As Jesus himself, once again speaking through Isaiah, the one who passed this way, this road of the cross before us, into the grave and back out again, declares, "Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." In the name of Jesus, amen. We remain seated for our canticle, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted, number 451.
In the name of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Continues and concludes with the litany, page 288. Please stand as you're able. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us. Be gracious to
us.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death,
Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter,
help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God.
We implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
We pray together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, grant that in the midst of our failures and weaknesses, we may be restored through the passion and intercession of your only begotten Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, merciful Father, you have promised to hear the prayers of all who in repentance call out to you. Graciously hear us, so that all evils which beset us may be of no avail, that we, your servants, may evermore give thanks to you in your holy church, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 432, In Silent Pain, the Eternal Son.
Thank you.
silent pain, the eternal sun hangs derelict and still. I don't know that there's a more poetic line ever written in hymnody that paints the picture of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus for us. May that be our concluding thought as we end our Holy Monday worship and continue our journeys tomorrow with our worship service at 6:30. We are offering individual private confession and absolution on these days during Holy Week. We'll be here 30 or 40 minutes before the worship service in the prayer chapel, and that gift is available to you as well. We will not be there Wednesday evening because we'll be teaching catechism class, but every other evening during the Lenten or during Holy Week, one of the pastors will be there and that gift will be made available. Pastor, anything else? Oh, choir did a marvelous job. Thank you. Thank you, men. And Derek, good job. You made the good confession. Very proud of you. Anything else? Vicar? Derek, come with me and we'll shake hands together. Okay? Now.